Welcome to the best 5 minutes of the day. We got our buddy, Dr. Jason Kanz, on the line on a Thursday, October 21st. We've been, a month into fall. You know what that means. I guess your birthday's coming, but coming. So is winter. So.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at memories on Facebook yesterday, and a year ago yesterday, we had, 5 or 6 inches of snow, something like that. So I'm grateful that we haven't quite gotten there yet.
Yeah, there you go. That's true. Thanks for that reminder that things could be worse. Yeah. It's always one way of encouraging. Well, I don't know. I found myself in a little, a lot of times what we can share here is what you or I or both of us have shared on social media. And I don't know, I posted something that was liked by a handful of folks, including yourself and my mother-in-law, but not by a friend in Texas. So anyhow, it's a quote from Andrew Bauman. He's quite the author and pretty impactful guy in a lot of ways. One of his books called Stumbling Toward Wholeness. There's one of your favorite words, wholeness. Have you read this book, by the way, Stumbling Toward Wholeness?
Yeah. It's I really like it. I've only read it once, and I would like to read it again. It's, I like a lot of Andrew's thoughts, and certainly I talk a lot about the idea of wholeness. Mm-hmm. And should probably pick it up again and kind of dig into it some more. But it's I really like it. I think it's helpful.
All right, so I saw this quote, and this is the quote from the book. It says, quote, "Assent to ourselves is not some humanistic, narcissistic plea to make God in our own image. Quite the contrary," says Bauman. "This affirmation of the goodness of self," and that's probably what rails at the detractor. "This affirmation of the goodness of self simply takes seriously the fact that God has created us in his likeness." And as one commentator, Keith Tim Anderson from Nashville, chimed in overnight, he said, "I think in this discussion, maybe that there are two definitions of good being discussed here. Both, as Keith says, we certainly are good in the sense that we're wonderfully made in God's image. But he says in the sense of being morally good, we all know that we're sinful." So thoughts just on the quote itself?
I think... I knew that it would be controversial when Andrew posted it, and I was certain it would be controversial when you posted it. I think one of the things for me that stirs up is I'm very much committed to the idea that when God created us, when we read the Genesis story, God said that we were very good. You know, he looked at the people that he created, and he's like, oh, this is amazing, right? I mean, and our goodness flows out of him. And so every person, I believe, bears the image of God. I think we still bear God's fingerprints. And for me, I think acknowledging that is not only accurate, but I think it's healthy for us to be able to acknowledge that when God created us, he made us good. We were his intended design.
So the question then, thank you for that, well said. The question then becomes, what with that? So Randy in Texas had not liked, he's got a lot of different comments. He had another one this morning. I thought we were done, and then he hit one this morning, and I responded even before I had my breakfast, which probably wasn't wise. But anyhow... he had chimed in here something of the fact, I mean, that the self part, I guess, is what rails at him some. And so I don't know if he altered some of what he'd written, because I had responded. It looks like he may have expanded what he'd originally said. But he talks about made in the image of God. Yes, and that is good. But self, while valuable, is not good. And I said back to him, I said, I don't know how you differentiate between the two. Were humans originally made good, or weren't we? And then I got a much longer answer. So, thoughts on that?
You know, I think for me, the thought is, I think sometimes we get this idea that after Genesis 3, that we went from created good to entirely bad, and I don't see that evidence in scripture.
And let me I feel like that's what Randy's saying, that he's acknowledging, right? He says, made in the image of God, yes, and that is good, but self-valuable is not good. And then his further answer seems to be, it's completely, exactly what you just said. So,
Yeah, you know, and I think when we read through scriptures, and I was sharing with you earlier the idea of the Psalms you read through, I just flipped in randomly, and Psalm 139:17 says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered." Mm-hmm. You know, and so God views us as precious. He views us as good. He views us as valuable.
But let me ask this, because we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
This ultimately a philosophical battle between Calvinism and Celtic Christianity? Because it seems to me that there are those who want to say, the Calvinist side seems to say, God loves us, even though he made us in his image, they'll grant that, but it seems like they want to say, he loves you because he is love. It doesn't have anything to do with you. I've heard them say that plenty of times. On the other hand, the Celtic side wants to say, God is love, we agree on that, and he loves us because he's love, but also because we have this incredible, eternal, infinite significance that he himself gave us.
Right. Absolutely. And that's not to negate the reality of sinfulness. You know, every one of us would acknowledge we are deeply broken. But, you know, our true self, that deepest part of us, redeemed by Christ, is worth paying attention to and valuing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it ended this morning. I think that where the threat is wrapped up this morning, we talked about Mark Alverson. It is the terminology of the post. We have value, Randy says, but we are not good. He says, my heart is evil due to sin, and I will not be good until my sinful heart is redeemed at Christ's return or my physical death. To which I responded, what? Are we not saints in Christ Jesus? How can you not acknowledge as children of God we have two natures? Read Romans 8 and Galatians 5. Yep. So,
absolutely.
All right. That's where it sits. Yep. So, thank you for dialoguing with me.
You bet.
I feel like I've been to the counseling office. All right. Jason Kanz, his book, Letters to the Beloved, it comes out on his birthday on Monday. Yes. Good morning to Susan.
Good morning.
It is coming up on 16 before 7 o'clock. You know, there's a lot of trying to get the birthdays together. I get the Facebook birthdays, and you and Caleb maybe chide me for having so many Facebook friends. But
no, I don't chide you. I admire you.
It's probably my own in my head. I'm thinking you're chiding me. And so, but, you know, I'm doing birthday research.
Right.
And so then beyond that, you've got a couple of different celebrity lists. But Clifton Spooner has kind of put my feet to the fire and said, Halvo, you guys play Christian music. You got to have the CCM artist birthday.
Cliff is always on top of the CCM birthday.
He is. And so I have a list, but then I'm like forgetting them. Like J.J. Heller and Matt Hammett both had birthdays, but I didn't celebrate till the next day. How do you feel if somebody doesn't celebrate your birthday till August 27th? Yeah, you feel, you know, like forgotten,
like
right?
It's a Boxing Day type of birthday.
You know, I saw something yesterday. It said for 5% of people,
yes,
their birthday is their most stressful day of the year. How is that?
Because you don't know if anyone, but it's stressful because you don't know if people are going to do something for it, or no one will notice. Or it also reminds me of like people who used to send me cards who are dead, like my grandma.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
Let's not do that on the morning show.
No.
I love birthdays.
So anyhow, the CCM artists, I hope they're not feeling it. Yesterday, I forgot Joy Danielle from Out of Eden. So I don't Eden. They've been kind of out of touch.
Right.
But she turned 41. But Charlie Lowell from Jars of Clay, he is 48 today.
I love Jars of Clay.
Yeah, this very day. And Reliant K, a boy band from back in the day.
Right.
Brian Pittman, a boy no more. He's 41. So we've got to play some music from all of them. We've got that for
you. I love it.
Coming up here on the Wib Wake Up Show.
Well, a Wisconsin man grew the heaviest pumpkin in the good old U.S. of A. this fall, weighing in at 2,520 pounds. I know they had a massive one over 2,000 pounds at Down to Earth Garden Center. If you want to see one close to this size, a little bit bigger one here grown just west of Fond du Lac. However, because of a technicality, it is not, in fact, the largest pumpkin in the U.S. Mike Schmidt grew this gargantuan gourd, again, about 30 miles west of Fond du Lac, 2,520 pounds. But unfortunately, from internal pressures, I mean, there's a lot of pressure to be the Yeah. Biggest pumpkin in the country.
Aww.
So, I mean, it was just struggling a little bit.
Right.
No, probably from the weight, internal pressures and the awkward way it was growing, it cracked. Not a big crack, mind you.
How big?
A small fingernail-sized hairline crack, but because of said crack, it disqualified his massive pumpkin from all competitions. So it cannot officially be the largest in the USA. The prize would have been $20,000.
Wow. Oh, that poor fellow.
Hmm.
It's just, I mean, I don't even fully understand how you grow pumpkins that large.
Yeah.
I know we have some friends of the show who do that.
It's not steroids, right?
I mean, yeah,
it's,
Lauren and Brian.
I don't understand how, because we grew some pumpkins and we were pleased with their size.
Right.
But they were, you know, 20 pounds.
I mean, these are like the size of a fort. You could carve it out and live in it, maybe.
Yeah. But it's kind of fun, right, to grow something that grows that big.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not like you can haul it in the back of your truck because it weighs more than your truck.
Right.
It's crazy. But anyway, yeah. So, Micah, because of this technicality, and I wonder who checks those things out.
Yeah, do they have a black light?
Who goes over with a fine-tooth comb over this huge, huge pumpkin?
Yeah. People
says,
with
you know
a-
what? Tiny little crack.
Why does that have to give? Why does that have to disqualify it just because it has a crack?
Yeah.
Other pumpkins are jealous.
Wow.
I don't know.
But the other jealous.
Here's the thing.
You had me convinced you're a pumpkin expert. So,
Mike, in true Wisconsin grin and bear it fashion, said, "You know what? Yeah, I lost out on $20,000, but there's no time to sulk." He says, "Quote: There's no crying in pumpkin growing."
There you go. There you go, Mike. So
I'm proud of him.
Way to hang in there.
Next year.
Yeah, exactly. So, and in fact...
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
If you want to survive in your house, maybe you need to heed what is forthcoming on the Wib Wake Up Show.
A survey of women finds many, many of the ladies are sick and tired of their expensive toiletries being pilfered by their partners.
Uh-huh. What's going on?
Nearly 3 in 4 women surveyed said the men in their lives frequently use luxury beauty products without permission. Expensive shampoos, the most likely product to be pilfered.
So true.
So why would they do that?
Availability.
Okay, yeah, there we
Here's
go.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Whenever I have used something of my wife's shampoo or body wash or something like that, it's because I ran out and didn't know that before I stepped in the shower. So when I use this coconut body wash, it's because my cheap Zest bar soap was so small I couldn't actually use it anymore. When I've used her shampoo, it's because I didn't realize mine was out. And when I've used conditioner, it's because I thought it was shampoo.
Well, here's the thing, guys. A few months ago when I got my hair done, I had a stylist notice that my hair is thinning. She recommended a shampoo. I said, okay, I'll get it. I saw my total. It was $35.
For one bottle?
It was like an 8-ounce bottle of shampoo. Wow. And because I'm so nervous and prideful and I don't want her to sabotage my hair, I just said, okay, I'll pay it. And a tip. So $35. Yeah. And my hair actually doesn't even look that much thick. Of course, who knows what it would look like without this incredible elixir. But honestly,
So long story short, Phil's not allowed to use that.
Oh, my goodness. Once he found out how much it cost, he stocked up on his little VO5 he gets at festival.
See, this is the thing. I'm a suave man myself, or Dove, or whatever. Whatever's cheap, it's fine. I keep my hair cut fairly short most of the year anyway.
VO5 is cheaper than Suave.
There we go. Well, you know what? That's what I got to go with next.
And you could smell like peaches or kiwi.
I don't know about using my wife's, but I had this in the reverse end today where I have this 3-in-1 men's soap. It's a shampoo, conditioner, soap. And I look in the shower this morning and I'm like, where is it?
Where was
it? It wasn't in its usual. I've even got, right? And so I searched around. I don't think I said it to go to the Y. No, it was in a different place. And my younger son had been getting ready for youth group last night. So I'm like, okay, I think that was... Hey, but the rest of this thing, it says that more than half the women said they hate it when men failed to clean out the sink after shaving.
Mm.
And that nasty habit of leaving the toilet seat up annoyed 68% of the women, with the rest apparently resigned to it as a fact of life.
It is
a lot of just pent-up emotion that's being built up around these things. And also, I feel like there could be a little jealousy from some ladies. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like there could be some jealousy because men have, like, these 19-in-1 shampoo that Mike talked about, 3-in-1. But it's like, it's a soap, it's a shampoo, it's a conditioner.
Oh,
it shaves you in the shower. You know
what I mean? It's a whole thing to get ready with the serums, the moisturizers.
Give it to me. Just one bottle for everything. That's great.
You don't use heat protectant, then, on your hair.
I have not.
Romance on Hallmark this Christmas.
Aww.
Did you all realize that the season has begun tomorrow? Hallmark's first Christmas movie of 2021.
Oh, my word.
Begins tomorrow
and
night.
How many
it's
are
the first
there?
Hallmark Christmas movie. I don't know. They just go on and on and on. It's like lamb chops and the song that never ends. But again, there's something we were talking about this a little bit off the air. There's just something. It's like the comfort food of cinema, Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
Where you're just, you make fun of it because it's formulaic.
Yeah, so schmaltzy.
And yet, after I watch one that my wife has started and I sit down and start saying, hey, I can predict what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then I sit down and watch it and I say, I feel better.
I know.
I feel uplifted.
It lifts the spirits. And we need it in the world like we've got now that's so crazy and
there were no car chases, no guns, no explosions.
I completely agree.
And yet I feel better.
And wait till tears come to your eyes. Then you're like, what is wrong with me?
So how does this game work now?
All right. So we're going to play Real Hallmark Movie or Not. Real Hallmark Movie or Not.
Ooh.
I have 7 different titles of movies. And you have to determine, Mark and Susan, whether it's a real
Hallmark movie.
All right.
I got it.
First, real or fake Hallmark movie. Boyfriends of Christmas Past. Boyfriends of Christmas Past. Real or fake?
It should be real.
It sounds real.
You are absolutely correct.
All right. Ding, ding, ding.
All right. It is real. Second, real or fake Hallmark movie. My Silly Santa. My Silly Santa.
Oh, man.
It doesn't sound real.
It doesn't sound real.
You're both saying fake.
Yeah.
You are correct.
Oh, yes.
It is a fake Hallmark movie.
2 for 2.
Because one thing Hallmark does is take Santa very seriously.
Yes. Speaking of Santa, third real or fake Hallmark movie as we celebrate the beginning of Hallmark movies tomorrow night. The Santa Stakeout.
Ooh.
The Santa Stakeout. Real or fake Hallmark
movie? I think
movie.
It's real, and I think it's about little kids that want to see if Santa's real.
Yeah, that doesn't sound real to me. Fake.
I say it's real.
Susan's right. Oh! It's real.
Jacoby.
Susan's up 3-2.
Man. Well, I mean, she's a woman. She's more in tune with that. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Excuses.
Lifetime. That's right.
Again, real or fake Hallmark movies during the Wake Up Show. Coyote Creek Christmas. Coyote Creek Christmas.
Sounds like a Dateline episode. I don't think so.
Real or fake?
I need to catch up, so I'm going to say it's real.
Mark, you're right.
Yeah.
It's real.
Oh, dang.
That is a real
Coyote Creek Christmas.
Everybody likes alliteration.
Three more. The 9 Kittens of Christmas. The 9 Kittens of Christmas.
I just can't believe it.
Real or fake?
I cannot believe it. That's too blatant.
Fake.
You both say fake?
Yes.
It's real.
Oh, no!
It's real,
no!
And I must see it.
No!
I must see it.
No!
I thought it would be the 12 Kittens
of
Christmas.
Is it the following night after the Santa Stakeout, or what? Wow.
2 more on real Hallmark
man.
Movie or not.
The 9
the
Kittens
Wake Up Show.
Of Christmas.
I flew too close to the sun.
All right. How about this one? Beachbody Christmas.
No way.
Beachbody Christmas.
No way. That's no way.
Real or
no.
fake?
No way.
No.
That's fake. That's
you
so
are correct.
Fake.
It is fake.
Thank you, Lord.
Tony getting into Hallmark movies. And finally, one more real or fake Hallmark movie, Mark and Susan. You're tied 3-3 here.
Okay.
The Christmas of Thanksgiving Leftovers.
Wow.
The Christmas of Thanksgiving Leftovers, real or fake Hallmark movie?
I'm going to say it's real.
Fake.
This
Susan's
is it?
Right.
Yeah.
Susan's right.
Oh, no.
Mark
down.
Had to take a chance there.
I
you know what? It's like going for 2 and the win at the end.
Everyone knows you eat your leftovers the next day.
All right. Well,
what in the
I'm
world
gonna...
is Coyote Creek Christmas and the 9 Kittens of Christmas?
Yeah.
The Boyfriends of Christmas Past? Those are...
The 9 Kittens
that
of Christmas.
That was super right. fun, yeah. and now I can't
real.
Wait to start watching those movies.
All right, folks,
right?
find out when the Santa Stakeout is and gather the family around the set to watch that. I feel bittersweet, so that song from Plum is right now. Bittersweet, how I felt after Susan took me down in the Hallmark movie trivia this morning. On WWIB, I'm going to need some counseling, but I'm going to hopefully get over it. I'm still working my way out of that Hallmark loss. And so this is 10th Avenue North with Losing on WIB.
everyone's short of help these days. We've mentioned that before. The world's kind of understaffed right now.
Totally.
So as that viral Facebook post going around, the world's understaffed, be kind to those that showed up. Well, Michigan State University is not immune to that, specifically in their campus dining hall. So they're making an urgent plea to their staff to volunteer to help. MSU's Residential Services Department has already asked 132 full-time employees to work 8 hours a week, but it's apparently not enough. In an email to deans, a university vice president wrote, quote, "Faculty and staff from around campus are invited to sign up to assist in the dining halls. We have specific needs during evenings and weekends."
I like it.
And when we're talking faculty and staff, so again, some of these people, I mean, this is a pretty prestigious university, mm-hmm. right? So you're talking folks with doctorates, folks who are, you know, research scientists, et cetera, and saying, you know what, would you help? And I love that because I'm sure that there are going to be some who are going to say, you know what, I remember where I started from before I got this vast amount of knowledge and degree, and I'm not too good for this kind of work, and I'm going to serve our students.
No,
I'm sure there will be some who won't.
Put the kibosh on this idea. Me, always dancing on the edge of academic probation, if I saw one of my professors serving things, I would avoid him at all costs or her, put my tray down, say, let's go to McDonald's. I do not, or I would put on a disguise. I don't want to be confronted about my poor performance.
It's like, wait, you're here, but you were apparently too sick to come to my class today?
Exactly. See, the lunch ladies, they're always a wonderful, accepting person. Mm. Hi, honey, how are you?
I think it's a time, though. It's all hands on deck. And I think there's a humbling I'm all for. Easy to say, right? Harder to do. But, I mean, like, things that invite you to deeper humility. And
you're
so
right.
For the college professors serving up the tuna helper, go for it.
Yeah, I'm curious if this had happened at my university, how many of my professors would have done this, to
right.
be honest. And I haven't always been super complimentary about my educational experience, but as far as the quality of the individuals that were instructing us in character as well as in knowledge, I could see a lot of them saying, absolutely. What do you mean? Where can I help?
Uh-huh.
And,
and you went to a Christian college in Ohio.
So, I mean, hopefully.
Right.
But yeah, I can see, where are you? Where are you at, Professor Craigle? I could see Professor Craigle having a whale
Christian
of a time doing
college.
That.
Could I have some bread? Of course. Who among us, if their student asks for bread, would give them a stone?
Everyone sit down in groups, and we're going to see how far this goes.
Hey, yeah, exactly. Loaves and fishes.
Hey, last half hour, we talked about the Hallmark Christmas movies, and they're going to be starting, I guess, tomorrow, and we had a fun quiz. Catch that on the WIB Wake Up Show podcast. I think this could be one. It'd take a Francesca Battistelli song, turn it into a Hallmark movie, call it Christmas Valentine, WWIB, one of our October Connect Month
perfect.
Gift offers.